This is Rights.Tech. I'm Henrik de Geer. Today I'm speaking with John Harrington. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, Henrik. Thanks for having me.
John, who are you and what do you do?
So I'm a professional photographer. I actually just got my credential renewed as a professional photographer in Washington, D.C. for my 26th year. I've been doing this a long time. I've covered everything for every presidential administration since original Bush, Bush 41. But in addition to that, I actually have written several books on kind of business practices for photographers, rights management issues, and I've actually done some formally with the Copyright Office, talked to them about some of the challenges on the landscape, and I've actually served as an expert witness on a couple of occasions on business practices and copyright issues, and traveled the country for a number of trade organizations lecturing on copyright and the importance of copyright registration, professional business practices for photographers. And for 26 years, I've had the blessing of making a living making photographs, and it's been my privilege to do that for that long.
John, what are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with rights management?
One of the biggest challenges, I guess there's three significant challenges that I can think of off the top of my head. I may add to a few, but one of the things I think is that there are a lot of photographers don't actually understand the broad depth of rights that they have to their own intellectual property. I think that's actually true with a lot of visual artists across the board. I don't think that's unique to professional photographers. They don't realize that they own the copyright and that they have to sign away and give away that or give away or sell that copyright as a part of what they're doing. And that's a problem because people don't realize all of the things they're giving away when they sign a work for hire agreement or something like that. And so I think that photographers don't understand the importance of their rights and therefore then how they manage them. The other thing I think that happens with on the client side of that is clients don't understand the importance of the rights they do have and the rights they don't have. And they don't understand the process within which they need to manage those rights. They need to have documentation that says we have the rights to use the photographs for the following period of time, managing those contracts. I've actually had situations with clients where some have been savvy and knowledgeable and expressed a need for a specific rights package because they said that they might be long gone from that company and they needed to make sure that they had the rights package they needed in place so that they could make sure that their company was protected in the future. Photographers that don't understand what they're giving away and how to manage what they own and what they have, you have clients who don't really understand how to manage their obligations to their own company as a fiduciary to that company. But then lastly is how do you bring all of that together so that both clients and photographers, rights holders can manage that in an automated way? Because it's one thing if you're managing, say you're the National Gallery of Art and you're managing several thousand pieces of art that you have the rights to. Even several thousand pieces of artwork is a lot, but when you consider someone like a photographer, for me, for example, I am right near the million image mark registered with the U.S. Copyright Office. I may have surpassed it. I haven't looked lately, but that's a lot of images to manage. Even if I'm only delivering to clients a third of that, that's still over 300,000 images that have to have rights management done. And then you take that and you say a photo agency that produces millions of images, they have to manage those in an automated system. And I think the biggest challenge of those three is that there needs to be an automated system and solution in place. And there is a solution, but that's critical that it can be machine readable so that a company like, say, McGraw-Hill can manage all of the intellectual property across all of their publications and all of the books that they produce and the teacher's guide. And so there really needs to be a solution to that. And I can think of one off the top of my head, but we can get into that in a second.
Great.
I think mostly we're dealing with challenges. I think the successes, and I can kind of dovetail into that, which is really kind of the solution that's out there. And the solution that's out there is an organization that's been around for probably a decade or so called PLUS, the Picture Licensing Universal System. PLUS is created, first they did, one of the amazing things they did was they created this entire glossary of usage terms. Photography licensing of intellectual property of any kind is really kind of a Tower of Babel. When someone says, oh, Duratrans or busback or any kind of an English language characterization of a usage, that creates a problem, not only if you're dealing with something as simple as a language translation, but the phrase buyout, for example, means one thing to one photographer, and it might mean another thing to a client. And you start using bad language, and you start having legal issues that come up down the line. And Plus first created this really amazing glossary. And the thing about Plus is, as a coalition, it's not a company that someone could buy or sell. It's not something that's creating this concept that then they're going to turn around and sell themselves and make a profit. They actually are not viable or sellable, because it's a coalition of not just photographers, only have one seat on the, I think, 13-member board, but illustrators and graphic designers and other visual artists all have a place in that, as well as libraries and museums also have a seat, and ad agencies and art directors, so that everyone came together and kind of reviewed this glossary that allowed everyone to be on the same page about what a usage was. We all agree that this is usage X. And then, as a part of that process, they began to create a machine-readable string of codes and characters so that it could be managed in an automated system. And like in an asset management system like, say, McGraw-Hill has, will have the ability to have a daily report run or a monthly report run saying, these are the following licenses that are coming due and we need to renegotiate these licenses with the rights holders. And I think that the Plus Coalition really has been one of the single greatest successes in the rights management arena that has a global benefit. And I really mean that when I say global benefit. It's been promoted and held out by, as an example, by the Registrar of Copyrights. And it is also the CEO of the organization's testified before Congress about the importance of it. And a number of members of Congress seem to see the Plus Coalition and the Plus Registry, which is kind of a sidebar to the Plus Coalition, as really the answer to the orphan works dilemma and to kind of automating a system that is arguably very broken.
Great. What is changing with rights management, or needs to change?
I think a lot of the people that are serious about rights management issues understand the importance of rights management. In other words, back in the day when people were talking about rights as it related to music, people thought, oh, music should be free. And that was the general attitude of the citizenry. And of course, it was a flawed attitude. And fortunately, thanks to a number of solutions in the music space that has come around, and the Napsters of the world are few and far between. And we've got iTunes or Amazon Music or Tidal or any of those organizations that are dealing with the music side of things. And so I think that you have a system where people, the mom and pops or the blogs or what have you, are considering that photographs, they might have considered that photographs were free and, well, it's on the internet, so I can use it. But I think that the serious rights users, whether you have news outlets or book publishers or educational organizations, those folks really do understand that there is a right to everything. And unless you have explicit permission to use things, I think that they understand the importance of rights management issues. And so I think the one thing that does need to change to kind of further improve it is the adoption of, say, and I know that I keep mentioning this, but the adoption of those Plus standards on a broader spectrum. There's a number of publishers that have already adopted it, but I think that there are more that need to come down the pike, and that needs to be integrated further into everything from, it's already integrated into Photoshop and Lightroom. It just needs to kind of be further integrated. And I think folks need to be more aware, certainly the casual user does need to be more aware of the rights they do and don't have to the content that they are trying to use.
Great. And what advice would you like to share with people interested in rights management?
I think that folks really need to understand that unless they have explicit written permission for the rights they are attempting to exercise, they don't have the rights, and that they really need to not approach the usage of intellectual property as, oh, well, we'll use it, and if we get caught, we'll pay the settlement. That it's important for folks to come in and treat the rights to the various intellectual property, photographs or illustrations or anything, as sacrosanct, because our society, the right to copyright, the right to allow something to be copyrighted, to be published, and the right to preclude something from being published if you have a moral objection to it. Say, for example, you've seen a lot of instances where a political campaign has used a particular musician's music to excite the crowd before they came on stage. And those artists are not interested in having their music used to promote a particular political campaign. And I think in the same way, you have visual artists, photographers, for example, who may not want their photographs to be used in ways in which they have a moral objection. Or more importantly, you may have a really well-known, well-regarded photojournalist whose work has appeared in a number of places. They may decide that they don't want their work to be used when it's been retouched because it's disrespectful to the integrity of that photojournalistically created image. And so photographers have the right to preclude as well as the right to allow the usage of their intellectual property, just like illustrators, graphic designers, and so on. And I think that those in the rights management arena need to avoid the don't ask questions first, litigate if necessary later mindset. And they really need to lock down and ensure that they do have the rights to the content that they're looking to use. I do know there are some organizations that have simply set aside a settlement fund and say, well, you know, if we need to use it, we can't find the permission owner, we'll just spend out of our settlement fund. And because so many folks don't register their work with the Copyright Office and therefore have a challenge of bringing suit and getting statutory damages and attorney's fees, there is a risk-reward benefit that some companies take when they're contemplating, oh, we'll just use it, and since they probably didn't. Because if you talk to at least photographers, there's about a 1%, 2% regular registration ratio to those who never register, and about 3 or 4% of photographers have ever registered any of their work. If you're a corporation and you're just making a decision from a business standpoint, if you have a 97% or a 99% certainty that the work that you're going to steal and use without permission is not been registered, then you're going to go ahead and do it. And then the 1% to 3% of situations, you're just going to suck it up and pay if that photographer finds out you did it. The problem is that it may make sense from a business standpoint, but from an ethical and moral standpoint, I just have a real problem with that. I would advise that a lot of folks that are in that arena where images are being used is to not take that approach and to really respect those rights and to ensure that you have the rights you need and you have it in writing. And most importantly, really, in this day and age, when people are paying a dollar for a photograph that took a whole lot of time to learn to take, that they really pay a living wage to those content creators and not expect intellectual property for pennies on the dollar. Over time, we're going to lose a creative class if it is not a sustainable profession. And I would like to encourage folks to think beyond simply the bottom line of dollars and cents, and also consider that just like they may be trying to save the environment by recycling, that they're also doing things like paying reasonable fees for the intellectual property they're licensing.
And where can we find more information about rights management?
I think the best location to go and find information about rights management, specifically the Plus Coalition, is the website. Useplus.com may work as well. That's useplus.org, and .com, I believe, also works. There's also the Plus Registry, P-L-U-S, the word registry altogether, .org. Both of those places are a really great place to start as far as the standards that have been put in place that folks may not be aware of. It's really important for people to understand that there is this standards body out there, and they are making a difference in terms of trying to change the landscape for rights management and make it easier for everybody, easier for everyone to understand. A lot of the professional trade organizations, at least from a photographic standpoint, the American Society of Media Photographers, ASMP.org, the National Press Photographers Association, NPPA.org. These trade organizations are doing a lot about issues relating to the rights of professional photographers. I would also encourage people to look up the Copyright Alliance. Copyright Alliance is a really great trade organization based in Washington, D.C. that deals with all issues relating to copyright. And within the issues of copyright is obviously the subset of issues of rights management. I would encourage folks to go there as well.
Well, thanks, John.
You're welcome.
For more on this, visit rights.tech. Thanks again.